Praise the Lord, everybody. How many feel like being radical tonight? How many want to get out of their comfort zone and move to a different level in Jesus Christ? How many want to be filled with the power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and do something in the kingdom of God? We always want to do something in our life. You know, we want to succeed and increase in this and get that or do this or see that. But when we start looking at the kingdom of God and seeing what God wants to do with our lives, we begin to grow in Him. There's an intimacy that is just out of this world. It can only be built in heaven. And that's where I'm going to go, and I hope that's where you're going to go. And I'm on my way right now. Amen? You can be seated. It's so good to be here. It's almost like being home. And I was thinking about that. Sister Sherry's been talking about people who have been calling this place home and coming back to church again. And tonight when I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, when I was living here and I would go home to Michigan, and the house usually was pretty much the same. You know, things didn't change much in my mom's house. And when it did, it was like, oh, wow, you got a new table. Oh, you got a new chair. Well, when we come into this house and we see the changes that God is making, it's like, oh, God did this and oh, God did that. And I'm excited to see what God is doing. I'm excited to see Brother Portman as pastor. No offense, pastor, that's not what I mean. After what I did this morning, I've been kind of hiding today. But the changes are so good, and it's in God, and God's timing is always right on time. If you feel like God hasn't answered your prayer or isn't doing exactly what you think He's doing, it's because it's not time. It's not because He doesn't care. It's not because He hasn't heard you. He hears every prayer. He knows every word that comes out of your mouth and goes in your mind. He knows every hair that's on your head. The God that I serve and the God that you serve loves you. And that's the title of my message tonight. I had something planned that I thought was God. And then last night about 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, He wakes me wide up, you know, wide awake. And it's like, okay, Lord, what's going on? Okay, I'll finish working in that little bit that You gave me. And all of a sudden, it was like he threw a curveball, and it went way over here. And I thought, okay, Lord, let's go. What do You want? And my message tonight is simply, from God to you, God loves you. God loves you. Now, some of you are thinking, no, He doesn't. And some of you are thinking, I know that. And some of you are thinking, well, I hope so. Some of you have had experiences with God that have disappointed you, and you think He doesn't. But I'm here tonight to tell you that God loves you. You are special. You are called. You are chosen. And you're here tonight because God has you here. God has called you to this place, and you've been obedient. And just for doing that, there's a blessing on your life. When you came through these doors tonight, there's a blessing that is coming to you for being obedient to God, to coming to the house of God. You put yourself aside, and you came to His house. And I can't wait to hear testimonies like Brother Portman had tonight, that I came into this church, and I could have been out doing drugs. I could have been out with my friends. But no, I got time. I can do it. And God will put you in positions that cause you to say, oh, this isn't working out. Maybe I should go to church. And just follow that cue. Know that God is working in your life because God loves you. I'd like to tell you a little bit about what's happened. Since I haven't seen you for a while. About a year ago, a year and a half, when there was a general conference, oh, almost 2 years ago. Conference is coming up. I went and talked to Brother Sully. He's a missionary to Senegal, West Africa. And I said, how's it going and what do you need? And he says, we don't have a church in the Gambia. And he said, I'd like to see a church in the Gambia and a Bible school. And it's funny because Senegal goes around the Gambia. It's just a very long country with a river that runs through it, but very narrow. And they speak English in the Gambia. And the country above it and around it speaks French. And so I said, okay, I'll pray for you. You know, I mean, what can I do? I'll pray for you. And I'll pray that God gives you a church and a Bible school. And so Sister Karen and I were talking about the Gambia, you know, and praying and everything. And I said, well, you know, I wonder if I should get my passport going again, you know. I mean, I really did not want to go to the Gambia. I was working and had other things to do, and I thought prayers were enough. And God just kept putting things on me. And so I said, well, I'll call Brother Cleve Jacobson in Australia. He's a friend of mine, and he does Bible studies worldwide on the internet. So I got a hold of him. I said, do you know anybody in the Gambia? And he says, well, he says, I had one pastor sign up about a year ago, and he only did a couple of lessons, and he was from the Gambia. I said, well, why don't you give me his number and his information? And Gambia is a small country. I'll see if I can get a hold of him. And so he did, and I actually got a hold of that guy, and he was a Nigerian. Kind of funny, you know, because since I've been to Nigeria. And so we got to talking and getting information and everything, and he was a really nice pastor and all that, and I wasn't trying to move too fast, and so we just stayed connected for a while. I kept praying for the Gambia. Well, then I had to buy a new mattress, so I'm at the mattress place, and the guy says, when do you want it delivered? And I said, well, you can't do it. You got to do it before such and such a date. Now I'm going to the Gambia. And he says, I know somebody in the Gambia. He goes, I have a young man that my wife is trying to communicate with that wants to know an American. I said, oh, well, he said, I want to know if he's for real. And I said, okay, the Gambia is a small country. I bet you I can find that guy. And so he gave me his information. Things started happening. It just kept escalating until it was like, God, I know this is going to be you, and I'm going to the Gambia. And I had no idea where I was going to stay in the Gambia. I had no idea about anything, really, other than there were two contacts. So I kept looking on the internet, and I found this guest house. It was called the Kingfisher, because there were some guest houses around there, but they were not safe. And this Kingfisher was owned by some European couple, and they only had like 8 rooms. So I said, I'll be in this such a date, I think, and would you have any openings? And they said, no, we don't have any openings. I said, oh, okay. So we kept looking, and the pastor now and I had been having contact, and he was trying to find a place for me since he knew I was going to come now. And his places didn't have screens or anything. I said, no, I don't think I better stay there. I had malaria once, and I don't want it again. So then, through it all, somebody said, I'll tell you what, you got somebody that wants to come here? I'll cut my visit short and go. I got things I got to do. You can give that to them. So this person that doesn't even know me says that they'll give up their room for me. And I thought, oh, God, this is you. I know this is you now. This is really you, so I don't have to worry. I still didn't know where they were located. I didn't know anything about these people other than we were nice. And then they said, oh, we'll meet you at the airport. Okay. And then the student that I had gotten a hold of and found out, he was a Muslim, and he was going to meet me with his family at the airport. And sure enough, here's a whole family, and here's a pastor and a wife when I get to the Gambia, and they're like, oh, Mom, you know, Mom. And I got all these pictures, and I'm saying all this, not to say because I'm anybody, I'm not, but what God has done, what he will do, he'll take you and do his will if you will submit to him. I really didn't want to go, but when I decided, okay, Lord, this is you, people were there inviting me, people were there to protect me. This kingfisher that God let me stay at had two pools. Now, not that that's spiritual, but, you know, that was so nice. They had a wall that was filled with beautiful flowers. I had monkeys running over my roof, you know. It was a blast, and God was in it. But the good thing about this whole thing, this pastor that God set me up with, I asked him if he'd been baptized in Jesus' name. He said, yes. I said, okay. I said, I'm going to teach you search for truth. And he said, okay, because he always wanted to hang out, you know. I mean, I'm American, so he's trying to hang out. And he's a good pastor. And so we went through search for truth, and we started baptizing his church. And when almost the whole church had been baptized, he and his wife came to me and said, would you baptize us in Jesus' name? Because we really don't know if we were or not, and we want to be sure. That whole church ended up being baptized in Jesus' name. Got a hold of Brother Sully. Thank you, Jesus. Got a hold of Brother Sully. He came over and he talked to him and then just left it in his hands. And I was done. Once we made the contact with the missionary, I was done. That was just my job of going over there and doing all that. God is just so good. When he asks you to do something or when he opens a door, you don't have to know anything. All you have to do is listen for his voice, be close to him, and hear what he will say to you. He will protect you. He will keep you. We ran around the Gambia all over trying to reach people and have crusades and revivals and all that, and God just really moved. Well, this year at family camp, Brother Randy Adams was there. He's the regional director of West Africa. Got to talking to him, and he said, yeah, Brother Sully's got two missionaries now, and we're going to, they were aimers, and now they're going to be full-fledged missionaries. They're going to the Gambia after conference is over, and they'll be able to get the church going. They'll be able to get the Bible school going. And I just thank God. I thank God for what he's doing. I tell you that because there's some people in here that God's trying to get you to do things, get you out of that comfort zone, get out of this building, talk to people you haven't talked to before, go places you haven't done before, and be a light before this world that's in total darkness. How many have noticed things aren't good in America? You know? Things are not good. Things are going down fast, and you're going to see some things coming up this month that'll probably be more bad stuff going on. And God is going to be here soon. Jesus is coming back for a church that's on fire, not a church that's comfortable, not a church that comes to church just to come to church and say, I did my duty, not a church that's just like double-minded. Or I think it was Brother Schumacher this morning, the Laodicean church, not a church that's lukewarm. We've got to be radical. You don't have to be 20 years old to be radical. I'm 70, and I'm proud of it. Trouble is, you know, since I'm proud of it, I got in trouble, too. I was working pretty hard, you know, and bragging about how old I was and able to do it. Next thing you know, I got all these things going on. Knees are going out, and stomach is upside down, and who knows what's going on, but God is good. God is good. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how smart you are. God just wants people that are willing. You know, when Brother Portman was talking tonight, it brought that scripture in Revelation Revelation 12. Oh, that's not the one. Sorry. Acts. Acts chapter 4. I really haven't started preaching yet. Okay. Chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. These guys were considered ignorant and unlearned, but they were with Jesus doing great things. It doesn't matter where our status is, what we're doing. If we fall in love with Jesus and recognize that he loves us, great things are going to happen in this church. It was a couple of months ago, I think it was, I was praying for AFC, and God gave me a vision, and it bothered me. And I called Brother Portman, and I said, I got a word for you, I think. And what I saw was, I saw this church all closed in. And it looked like a, what do you call it, a mausoleum? And the people inside were having a great time. They were kind of talking to each other and just being friendly and having a good time. But the doors were closed. They couldn't get out and nobody could get in. And I said, I don't know what this means. And he said, you know, somebody else had told him just about the same thing. This church has had prophecies and the word of God preached to it. And God doesn't fail. God doesn't, when he tells us a word, he follows through with it. I know Sister Karen, she's had a vision, I think, or a dream, where she saw these doors, people lined up from the streets, further than you could see. Does anybody remember her talking about that? And the time has come, church. The time has come. If we wait any longer, Jesus is going to come. And it's going to be too late. Recognize the fact that God loves you. What perfect, Pastor, this morning. Let's all go back to this morning and remember Pastor's message. The intimacy with God. He said it all. He said it all. I should not even have to say anything because this message, it was preached this morning. But God gave me this. God loves you. God loves you. Can you think of the person that loves you most right now? Who loves you the most on this earth? And think about that relationship that you have. How does that compare with your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is that before him? Is something else before him? When God becomes first in your life, there's going to be joy and peace and rejoicing, and the fruit of the Spirit is going to be just coming off, and you're going to be doing things that you never thought you could do. I don't even know if I'm going to preach. I just have to tell you this. God loves you. He is coming soon. There may not even be a tomorrow. We don't know that. He could come tonight. Something could happen to us tonight. And are we ready to meet him? Have we done what he have? Is there anybody that's holding back on something that they know that God has talked to them about? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Well, one. God is moving in the earth. He's taking people that in other countries there is revival going on. They have nothing. Some of them have no food. They're in starvation. Look at all the things, the consequences that are going in this earth of the fires that we've had, the tornadoes that we've had, the hurricanes that we've had, the floods that we've had, the mudslides that we've had. God is warning his people. He's trying to show us something. When there is sin in a country, if there is sin in a state, if there is sin in a life, God is trying to open up our heart to get rid of it, no matter what. Because if there's sin in our life, it's going to keep us from him. It's going to keep us from that intimacy. There's a condemnation when sin comes in our life. It takes away joy. It takes away the presence of God. It takes away the power of God. But when we clean up our life and we do and become obedient to the word of God and what he says and walk with him and talk with him and live with him and pray with him, that he is the only thing that we can think of because we wonder what he's going to do next. We used to come to church all the time and say, what's God going to do? What's God going to do today? Is that question still here? Are you excited to come to church to see what God is going to do? Or is it the regular routine that we walk every day and say, oh, well, we did our church thing. We can think that our duty that we have, that our gift that God has given us, we can think, well, I did that. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm an usher. I teach Bible schools, you know, Bible studies, you know, and go, I did my job. How many of us, if we went to work and we just did what we thought, that's all we got to do, and not what the policy says or what our job description says, what would happen if we only did what we wanted to do? I don't think we'd be at that job very long. Well, God isn't like a demanding God. He gives us choices. You know, we can serve him or we don't have to serve him. His love is so great, though. His love is so great for us that when we do disobey him, he's still there. He's still there. He wants you. He wants me. He doesn't give up on us. He continues to call us. He continues to walk beside us. He continues to urge us to do what's right. I'm asking you tonight, if you have sin in your life, Pastor, you gave me the free. I'm asking you, if you have sin in your life, that you have to get rid of that. You have to give it to God. You have to get a heart that's clean. You have to give a heart that's hungry for God. If there's anything that's in your life that's stopping you from coming to God or making the rapture, tonight is the night. Don't wait until, well, there's church, or I'll do it when the pastor's preaching or whatever. God is coming soon, and I'm here to tell you, I really don't like being up here, you know. You said you were tripping through something, you know, tonight. Well, that's what I feel like. I'm tripping through. And not on drugs either. I'm just, God is coming. And I love this church. I love you. And I know some of you used to be clapping your hands and dancing up here. And I know if you're like me, the knees are gone and the feet are gone. But there's still a wiggle you can get while you're standing still. Is it true? Do you love God tonight?
Yes.
Can you be intimate with God tonight?
Yes.
If you can't, then tonight is the night to come to an altar. Tonight is a night to give it to God. Tonight is a night, if you're not baptized in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized. Tonight is a night that you're going to decide that I can do this thing that the pastor's been asking for. I can go out of the church and I can reach the lost. I can do a prayer walk. I can be a witness. Tonight is the night. You don't want to wait. I don't know about you, but I've seen that movie, the End Times movie, Revelation, where the rapture happens and they run to the church. It was like way back years ago. There'll probably be more people running there'll probably be more people running to this church that night when the rapture happens, or that day, than there is tonight. And I don't want to see any of you be one of them. I know I'm not giving you scripture. I had scriptures. I had a whole thing, you know. But this is my heart. I'm not perfect in any way, but you know what? The one thing that I can do is every day I get up, I lay it before God, and I can walk with God, and I can have a clear mind, I can have a clear heart, a clean heart, and I can go out and say, God, here I go again. There's been times when I've been in other countries and things have been so wrong, and sometimes I had to take the brunt of it. And I said, God, I feel like I failed you. And he said, you didn't fail me. There's times when things go wrong on purpose because, God, it's not all about us. It's not about us. It's about what God is doing through us and what he wants to do. It may go wrong in your sight. You may question things, but you may be right on the mark. I hope this doesn't sound like a correction. Although that's scriptural. I'm trying to encourage, church. I am trying to encourage, because when you walk with God, there is no greater joy in your life. It's exciting. It's sometimes even scary, and you got to remember, oh yeah, I got to trust you, Lord. My house is sold right now. We haven't done the closing, so there's always that little question. But there's a lady that wants my house in Michigan right now. She didn't even wink at the offer I told her, the price I told her. She never winked at it. I don't know where I'm going. Well, I do know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. But I didn't know where I was going to go in the Gambia either. And I saw God open doors. I talked to Muslims. And he gives me a Nigerian that I am familiar with. We still have contact on the phone. God will do great things in your life. I don't know what your prayers are. I don't know what your desires are. But God gives us the desires of our heart when we please him. And pleasing him is just obeying him. I'd ask you tonight, if you're not ready to meet him, to get ready. Come to the altar. I'm asking you to come to the altar. If you're not serving God to the capacity of what you know you can, I'd ask you to come to the altar. I want to run during worship. I want to fall on my knees during worship. I want to dance during worship. And my knees right now won't let me. If I tried to dance right now, I'd look like I was doing the chicken. That's what it would be. Plus that, my feet are too small for these shoes, and I'd probably trip over them. But anyway, God is good, and God loves you. God loves you. Can you say that tonight? God loves me. God loves me. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you? But he doesn't want this church to be a mausoleum, friends. Not at all. He wants us to take him out, the light that's in us, into this darkness that is overcoming this world. You are a light that is set on a hill, and you cannot be hid. If you're truly a Christian and you're living with holiness in your heart, and you're living with obedience in your heart, there's something different about you. And they see it. They feel it. I had a lady that I'm working with, driving school bus. Can I just be honest with you? I'm ashamed of myself and embarrassed. She dresses like a man, and I don't think she's gay. But she just gives that kind of appearance. And we had family camp, and I invited her to family camp, but I was real hesitant because I thought, oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, I have problems too, you know. I'm trying to overcome some things. And I thought. So I invited her. And she says, well, I'll wear my jeans. I said, okay. And she says, well, I've been to a church where I've been kicked out because I had my jeans on. I said, well, I can guarantee you won't be kicked out there. And so we're probably 5 seats from the front, and it's worship, and she stands during the worship. And after worship and everything, and we sat, she never said anything. She just sat back down. And then when church was over, the conference or family camp was over, she just sat there. And I thought, uh-oh, wonder what's going on now. And then she said, I can't believe all your young people. How many young people you have that love God and are worshiping God. And she was so touched by that, that now, I don't know if we're going to have a search for truth or not. I tried, and so far it hasn't worked, but I've given her search for truth study guides. And she is in a Baptist church with all old people. I'm sorry for all you old people. That's sorry. There you go again. anyway. And so, I love you guys. I love you so much. So she wants to teach. She teaches there. Right now they don't have a pastor, and she does some of the teaching, and she wants to teach that search for truth. So I thought, well, God, it's all in your hands. It's not up to me. I can't pick and choose what I'm going to, you know, who God's going to give me. And I can't pick and choose what I want to try to, how I want to try to win them. It's all up to God. And that's what's so cool about God. When he loves us, he loves them. He loves them. I'm so excited. I am just so excited that this is God's message. And I know because it's his message and not mine that God is going to do something in your heart, and he's going to change you if you will let him. He's going to make you a fire like you haven't been. He is going to put joy in your heart and your feet. This church is going to be different because God is moving in us. And I just thank God for it, and that's all I got to say. And God bless you. I love you.
Let's all stand.